Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to a superb card from the Curragh on Saturday. It is, of course, Irish Derby Day. All eyes on Australia to see if he can replicate the heroics of Epsom a few weeks ago. And a fantastic supporting card as well. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
Really, really good racing today over in Ireland, isn't it? It's the kind that you really can look forward to.
It's a glittering card as well, and I also like the way it fits in the Saturday programme as well. We don't get the action underway until 10 past three, and it just gives us a chance to meander through the day and have all the racing over this side of the water, obviously, taking centre stage, and then the better racing starts sort of around the tea time period, including the Irish Derby, smack bang in the middle of the card at 5:30 for everyone to see it. We get a chance to digest it all and hopefully see Australia, as you say, follow up his Epsom victory.
Absolutely. Okay, then we'll start with the 3:10. It's a maiden over 6 furlongs, and the favourite at the time recording is Cape Clear Island for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. Even money as we speak, then a whole host of horses on 6s and 7s. A few of them are unraced. It's that kind of race, isn't it? I think the favourite is short, but it's short for a reason. Baldonnell is the only other one that has experience that you'd expect could go close, apart from maybe US Navy SEAL. But which one are you going to come down on here, Andy?
Well, usually I like to back horses or follow horses that have had a run. Also, if they've had a run at the track. And if they're drawn favourably, and everyone the one that ticks all those boxes is the favourite, Cape Clear Island. So no great surprise that he's put in a short price. He got beat by a horse of Gerline's. It's called Bertie LeBulge, who hasn't run since, but he showed a really good turn of foot that day to run down Aidan O'Brien's colt by Fastnet Rock. And being by Fastnet Rock as well, you'd expect the ground on that occasion just to probably be a little bit too soft for him, and that's exactly how it turned out. The ground should be much more in his favour today. Obviously, a dry surface at Curran. I think they're going to miss most of the showers. He was drawn 4 of 12 last time out over the straight 6, and it's not ideal for a first-time out horse either to be marooned down in the centre of the course at the Curragh. You definitely want to be towards the rail if possible. And because he was on the sharp end throughout, he was always just doing a little bit too much in the combination of the ground, and that early exertions just took its toll late on. But he's got a great draw today, trap 11, one away from the inside, and I imagine he'll break clean ahead of the horse who's drawn in stall 12. Of course, hasn't had a run previously in his career, so he'll probably be slowly away. And everything looks set fair for Cape Clear Island to make all the running.
Okay, next up is the 3:45. It is the Sapphire Stakes over 5 furlongs, a Group 3 contest. They go without number one here. Marek does not run. And that opens it up a bit because Marek was a likely market leader. Extortionist now heads affairs for Ollie Stevens. Paul Midgley trains the second in, actually. So a strong representation from England, but this looks a pretty open race despite the fact we've only got 6 runners, Andy.
Yeah, it does. Marek not running has obviously taken a little bit of the edge off of the race from a class perspective, but it's thrown it wide open at the same time. I think it's going to be a strongly run event anyway, and Timeless Call knows only one way to go. She'll bomb off in front like she did last time at Cork. She got the better of James in a bit of a wild finish, and back in the ruck was Scream Blue Murder, who I tipped on the podcast that day, and I was left with the opinion that Screen Blue Murder might have gone a bit closer than the official results suggest had he got a clear run. So I think he's going to be dangerous today, despite still one being a slight inconvenience. But the one I think that probably might step up to the plate here and prove that it's a good trip over the Irish Sea, probably Stevens, who's Extortionist, who's had a couple of disappointing runs in decent company early on in the season. But then he bounced back to form in uncertain terms and winning a good new market handicap last week. I know it was a handicap, but it was a good one and it was a good time as well. And the way he strode out through the line suggested that he's come back to form. A lot of Ollie Stevens' horses have been a little bit under the weather throughout the course of the season. He hasn't had that many winners. I think that horse actually that day was his first turf winner of the year. I know he's had a few winners on the all-weather, Peace and War, etc. And obviously Lightning Thunder's been doing him proud, but other than that, he's had a pretty lean time of it. But hopefully he's turned the corner, and hopefully Extortionist can replicate his win at Newmarket.
Okay. Next up is the 4:15. It's the Scurry over 6.5 furlongs. A crazily competitive race, this. You know, it'd be very, very hard to rule any of them out. But one that has been really, really well backed is Alcacer. Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen has an attractive profile. Alban Starr, Barkston Asher are two others that have come in for money and are towards the head of affairs. Discussion to follow also up there. But as we speak, Alcacer is the 5-1 market leader, backed in from 8. Start with your thoughts on the Weld horse here, Andy.
Yeah, I like him, yeah. Cast our mind back to the early part of May. I tipped that horse that day to win at the Curragh. And he got the job done quite nicely in the listed race, stepping up from a maiden win at Cork over today's trip. It was just the time he did that day at Cork, which allowed me to go for him that day at the Curragh, and he didn't let me down. He's got some good numbers behind him. Slight concern for me is he's drawn stall 5. Now, traditionally, the standside holds sway at the Curragh over sprint distances, 5 furlongs and 6 furlongs. So, albeit he's got a touch of class, and I think he could easily be up to group good stand, but he's going to have to really to win from stall 5, providing that the usual trend takes place in the standside hold sway. And with that in mind, I quite like Discussion to Follow here. Mike Murphy's 4-year-old, equally to Alcacer. I do like the way this horse goes through his races. He's got a good cruising speed and a nice turn of foot at the end of his races. I think the draw just did for him last time out at Windsor. He certainly came out of their best that were drawn high. He was drawn 15 to 16, which is a bit of a coffin box at Windsor, but he almost pulled it off. He only got beat 3/4 of a length in a really good race. 3 winners subsequently out of the race, including the second Joey's Destiny and other horses down the line. Prior to that, he was a really smooth winner at Kempton. The handicap is obviously catching up with him, but I still think he's capable of mixing in this kind of company. Strong pace, a stiff track will really play into his strengths, and if they avoid further rain, Discussion to Follow, he's going to be there or thereabouts because he has got plenty going for him. So hopefully it could be a good day for the English Raiders, and Discussion to Follow will do for me.
Okay, Discussion to Follow there. The next race is the 4:50. It's the Railway Stakes Group 2 contest over 6 furlongs. Another warm favourite here in the shape of Capella Sansevero for Ger Lyons and Colin Keane. But there's some nice types in here. War Envoy, Arlen Emirati, Cool Company, Battle of Marathon. You know, there's not many bad horses in this race, I think it's fair to say, Andy. I know that's stating the obvious, given it's a group two, but quite a lot of nice types turning out here.
I don't think they're anywhere near the same class as Capello Sansevero. I think he's head and shoulders above this lot. I think we're dealing with a really, really good piece of form as well at the Raw meeting only a week ago. Provided he's come out of that race okay, that's any slight question. Then he should beat this lot pretty comfortably, despite one or two being fairly useful in their own right. He got beat by the Wow Signal, which is certainly no disgrace, and the fact that John Quinn thinks the world of him and he's thinking even maybe he's a Guineas horse next season tells you all you need to know about the form. It was a very strongly run race as well. The time was good. It's the fastest 2-year-old time I got the whole week, and Capella Sansevero did really well to finish as close as he did from a slow beginning. Typical Jamie Spencer ride. He probably gave him a bit too much to do. He's already won over the Curragh as well. Stands him in good stead. He handles pretty much any ground, although the quicker the ground, the better. I just think he'll absolutely crush this lot. I just think he's just a different, totally different gear. If he's over even money, then I think that's probably one of the best cards.
Okay, Capella Sansevero is 5-4 at the time of recording. So Certainly a strong fancy there for Andy in the 450. Next up is the 530. It is the Irish Derby, a Group 1 contest over a mile and a half. And all the talk is about Australia. Really well packed as well today. Was 3-1 on earlier this morning. Is now 5-1 on. So a short price, but punters still very much getting stuck into him. It's then 4-1 for Kingston Hill. 25s or bigger the rest. Is there any way past Australia here, Andy?
Not really, no. It's difficult to make any concrete cases out for the opposition. Obviously, Kingston Hill had a good go at him in the derby. He's the most likely one to ruffle his feathers again. But connections with Kingston Hill obviously want a drop of rain, and that doesn't look too imminent at time of speaking. In fact, he might be withdrawn. That's mainly one of the reasons why punters have been stuck into Australia. They're trying to take the early morning prices with the Rule 4, thinking, well, we're still going to get a better price in the long term if the second favourite goes out. And to be honest, even if Kingston Hill runs, I still think Australia will probably beat him anyway on good ground. Only if the game went soft would Roger Varian become a serious factor. The others look as though they're playing for prize money, and there is good prize money all the way down the line. And if you gave me a horse that I think would take out the race for the future, it would be Ponfey, John Ox's charge. And it wouldn't surprise me if he actually finished above his market position of 33-1. I think he's a really nice horse in the making. He beat a good field in a good time down in Navan the other day. A horse like Rate Called Mascombe was last of four, and that ran a blinder last night in a handicap. He's obviously got masses to find, and he's up in trips, so we don't really know what he's capable of. But if there was that, put it this way, if there was the dead eight runners and he was 33-1, I'd definitely back him each way just for a bit of sport. But yeah, Australia should do what many other previous Derby winners do and follow up in the Irish equivalent.
Okay, next up is the 6-10. It's race 6 on the card. It's a handicap over 2 miles. A real stamina test this one. And Natija, very popular this morning, 3-1 market leader. Which you might think is a bit short, but when you look at her form, it is very solid, and she's got to go close here, Andy.
She should do, yeah. She's obviously a strong stayer, and that mile and a half journey at Cork just wasn't a sufficient enough test for her. She probably would have needed the run as well. It was a first start for Jessica Harrington, so she was probably learning a little bit about her new charge as well. Good money for today, as you suggest. And the winner complemented that form last night by winning here at the Curragh in pretty convincing fashion. Chance to Dance, also really right. So probably on balance a worthy market leader. But I think Jim Baldry will probably know what it takes to win a race like this as well, because he obviously trained the winner, Chance to Dance. And I think Edutamity is at least equivalent to his Son of Teofilio. And having finished second in a very good handicap at Leopardstown on the figures, there's every chance that the Jim Baldry bandwagon can continue. Of course, he had three winners here last night, so it's a yard that I'm desperate to keep on the right side of. Comparing the winner's time as well, the race at Edutamity was involved in Henry Higgins 2, Miss United's time, who won the listed race over mile 6 that evening. There was literally nothing between them, and the sectional times actually suggested that the handicap was a much better race, or just as good. And with that in mind, I'm prepared to go for Edutamity here and risk that he gets the extra 2 furlongs. Obviously, that was a mile 6 at Leopardstown. He certainly wasn't stopping. And I'll just probably just take him ahead of Natija. And I also think Money Spider could run well. He's in really good form at the moment. Quite a complex 2 mile handicap there, but I'm going to stay with Edutamity. I believe in that Leopardstown handicap form. And I think Henry Higgins runs again tomorrow, so I'm hoping for a bit of a boost.
Okay, then. Next up is the 6:40. It's the penultimate race on the card. It's the Celebration Stakes over a mile. Really, really well-backed horse here in Giovanni Baldini against the O'Brien team. We often see money for these kind of horses, and they're often no value, but Giovanni Baldini certainly brings the best form to the table here, Andy. Gets a bit of weight and doesn't look to be up against much, does he?
Apart from one, no, he doesn't, no. I'll get onto that other horse I think could ruffle his feathers in a second. But yeah, Giovanni Baldini, listed race. It's a good bit of placing by Aidan O'Brien, who's spotted a good opportunity for his colt by Warfront. And, you know, his last two races have been a fairly high standard. Good listed race at Nice, where the ground might have just been a little bit sloppy for him. But on good ground, he showed what he could do last time out at Ascot in a really high-class jersey. I think it was one of the best races on the card that day. Musta Jim and Mawari are definitely two Group 1 performers in the making. And, you know, he did really well to keep tabs with them. Managed slight concern about Giovanni Baldini's the trip. He's yet to prove himself over a mile. And of course, this is a stiff mile. All his best forms over seven. So he's got that slight issue at the sort of burning at the back of your mind if you're thinking about taking a short price. And if you just perhaps wanted to bet without the favourite and exclude him out of all calculations, then I think Payne Magnus is one to consider here. You can either back him with or without the favourite, depending on how brave you are. But he actually comes out really well on my numbers, does Jim Boulder's charge, and the fact, of course, Jim had three winners last night. I'm desperate to stay on the side of that train at the moment. He's already won a listed race as well. That was at Dundalk, over a mile and a quarter. He won fair and square that night. And I thought he shaped really well on his seasonal reappearance behind Magician and Parish Hall et al. Over this course last time out. Of course, Magician finished second to the Fugue at the Royal Meeting in the Prince of Wales. So, sort of opposition-wise and form-wise, that's probably just as good as anything we got in this race. Certainly better than the others in the race. And I think we can probably back Payne Magnus at a decent price without the favourites. That's the way I'd go in the 640.
Okay, Payne Magnus 7-1 at the time of recording, so certainly interesting there. The final race is the 715. It is a filly's handicap over 7 furlongs. And just heading affairs is Photocall at 7-2 at the time of recording. Sparkle Factor in at 4-1, and then 6s or bigger the rest. Photocall hasn't done a great deal wrong today. It was a short-priced winner last time out. Sparkle Factor looked a little bit one-paced on her last start, but has been freshened up since then. I get the feeling that there could be a bit of a bigger price winner in here, Andy, but I know that you are a Photocall fan. Are you going to be with her again today?
I am, yeah. I think she's really well handicapped. I think she could be least listed company, if not Group 3, Group 2 in time. Hopefully that opinion I've got of her will bear a whole sway tonight. She finished third in a red-hot maiden at Navan, which everyone by now who follows Irish racing should know that form is probably as good as any. Mascoon, of course, who was third last night to Table Rock, and Table Rock was second. Loads of horses, Earth Drummer, you name it. All the horses in behind that day at Navan have come out and won subsequently. It was such a good race on the figures. Photocall herself then went to Fairy House and bolted up. Beat a horse called Adroit from the Gerline Stable, who landed the nap the other day at Gowran Park. They pulled well clear of the rest. It was a good time. And it was also a very good time, or a time equal to, or better than, Slipper Orchid, who ran on the same card that night over the same trip. There was around about half a second, three quarters of a second between them. And considering that Photocall was a maiden race and Slipper Orchid was a slightly better quality race, the fact that now Slipper Orchid has got to give Photocall the best part of a stone and a half, having seen, you know, Photocall ran quicker that night, then it's a bit of a no-brainer for me. And I think Slipper Orchid's the danger. I really do rate Mickey Halford's mare, and she's got a good record up the track, and she's got a good turn of foot as well. But I do think Photocall, A, is a little bit quicker than her and a bit more classier. And in receipt of weight, three-year-old, of course, getting a lot of weight here against an older horse, I'd expect Photocall to come out on top, prove that she's a class act, and justify her position in the market. I think 7-2 is not a bad price.
OK, Photocall there at the pick in the finale. Great stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Enjoy all of Saturday's racing. Enjoy the Irish Derby. Let's hope that if Australia does win, then he does it very, very impressively indeed. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow ahead of another Curragh card.
Yeah, it could be a good day all round, couldn't it?
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.